A new 72-hour ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza seems to be holding for the moment. Representatives of both sides are involved in talks in Cairo. Now, governments and prime ministers will decide questions of blockades and rockets and retaliation. Meanwhile, regular people, in Israel at least, where movement is possible, are making decisions too. Decisions on what the conflict means for Israeli society and whether they want to be a part of it. We're going to bring you two voices now. In a moment, an Arab Israeli on his decision to leave Israel and move to the United States. But first, a Jewish American who made the opposite choice and moved from the United States to Israel. The Israeli government says more than 1,000 Jews have moved to Israel since the war in Gaza started, and several thousand more have emigrated there over the past year. Some are fleeing anti-Semitism in their home countries. Others just want to start a new life. Katie Cannell arrived in Israel from Louisiana just over a year ago. She's living in an immigrant absorption center in Beersheba in the Negev Desert, and she joins me now. Katie, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, and thanks for being with us. Now, you made this decision, of course, to move to Israel about a year ago. Maybe the decision was longer than that, before this latest terrible conflict started.
Yes.
But now that it has that changed your feelings at all about your decision?
Yes, it's strengthened my decision.
Why?
Because being in Israel during war, this was the first time that I've been in Israel during war, and I definitely expected it. I knew it was going to become a part of my life. But being in Beersheba, I've heard the war. I can hear artillery fire and machine guns. I can hear the war. Of course, I've been affected by rockets. About 2 weeks ago, many times a day, there were air raid sirens. What resonates with me is in the mornings I get up and I make myself a cup of coffee. I go out on my balcony and I'm hearing all of this in the morning, in the evening. And it's death. I'm hearing the sound of death, of war, 25 miles away from me. However, the state of Israel has a right to defend itself. And there is no excuse for an organization, a terrorist organization, shooting rockets into civilian areas and to expect Israel not to retaliate.
Katie, if I can ask, you're 32 years old, correct?
Yes.
Does that mean that you'll be joining the army?
No, I will not be joining the army.
However, if
I was younger, I would, without a doubt.
And you would feel fine in taking part in the conflict?
Yes.
There are lots of other recent immigrants at your absorption center, I'm sure. And I know that you talk about the conflict and conflict in general. What do other people say to you? Do you run into any recent immigrants in the cafeteria or at work around there who say, gosh, I don't know if I want to be a part of this or I need to work my way through this?
Yeah, people say that they have to work their way through it, particularly people from the United States, because you're coming from a comfortable life. However, most of the people that live in my building are refugees. They are rescued from countries such as Yemen and Tunisia, where they were being persecuted for being Jewish. And what's sad is a lot of them have gone through horrible, horrible atrocities in their lives, having husbands murdered for being Jewish or having their daughters kidnapped and sold as wives. And then they come here to where they're supposed to be safe and they're running from rockets. So those immigrants, their perspective is different, and they're coming here because there is nowhere else to go. So this is another reason that I'm here, is that Israel is a haven for Jews that are being persecuted around the world.
You know, Katie, you mentioned the persecution of those people in your building, and I think a lot of American Jews look at that persecution and a long history of persecution and feel an extreme sense of discomfort with what they see as persecution now at the hands of the Israeli government or the Israeli Defense Forces in relation to poor Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank.
Well, that's in their perspective. And I say to anyone that feels that way, that they need to come to Israel and see what it's like. And you can't make a judgment call on that from abroad. It's very ignorant. I do believe that Israelis want peace, but it is the government entities that are presiding over the Palestinians that do not want peace.
Katie Cannell is from Louisiana, but she's now living in Beersheba, Israel. She's done what's called Aliyah, stepping up, moving to Israel. Katie, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We go now to the story of one Arab Israeli who made the decision to leave Israel. Syed Kashua is an Arab-Israeli author and journalist who built a life and a family and a home in Israel and worked during his career to try to bridge the cultural divide between the two sides. He was raised in Israel, and he was the only Arab student at his Jewish boarding school. And when Syed moved his wife and kids to West Jerusalem, they were the only Arabs in their neighborhood. Through his writing, Kashua has been described as a force of peace and hope. He writes in Hebrew for an Israeli Jewish audience, capturing the struggles of being Arab in a Jewish state. But the recent violence became too much for Kashua and his family. And just a couple of weeks ago, he, his wife, their three kids, packed up their few belongings and bought one-way tickets to the United States, now settling in Naperville, Illinois.
Because of the situation and because of the racism and because of the hatred, and we do live in a Jewish nice neighborhood in western Jerusalem, I couldn't really stay any longer. And I think that it was just the feeling in the streets of Jerusalem when young Israelis belong to the right wing or extreme right wing were just beating Arabs only because they are Arabs in the streets of Jerusalem. I was very much worried about my children, and I think that it was the first time that I lost hope. It was very tough and very difficult for me to stay there. So I don't know. I'm still very confused, and I'm still on the road here. But it's much easier to read the news and watch the news from Naperville than in the middle of Jerusalem.
You mentioned hatred and prejudice in Israel. Like in any society, that is also nothing new, particularly in a place so divided. Worse yes. now than it was before? What is your perception that despite a crime or two that you mentioned, that it's actually a worse situation now worth fleeing instead of opposing?
It's something else. It's, I always thought that I have to be careful because I choose to address the Israelis. I do write in Hebrew, by the way. I almost never wrote anything in Arabic, my mother tongue. I write in Hebrew since I was really very young. And so I'm addressing the Israelis in my writings. And I always felt that I have to be careful, much more careful than left-wing or extreme left-wing Israeli journalists. Because still, if you are Jewish, you're still, your opinion is legitimate and you are part of the inner discussion. And if you are a Palestinian or an Arab, you will always, or most of the time, you'll be considered like a fifth column. And so I really had to be always careful. And now I'm afraid that it doesn't work like that anymore. I think that I read in the newspapers that Israeli Jewish professors are really persecuted because they said things just like we care about the victims from both sides. And I read about colleagues of mine in Haaretz newspaper that almost lynched because of their writings against the war. So it's something new, and unfortunately the extreme right in Israel won that war.
You think that somehow Israeli society is fundamentally changing in its ability to have, despite a conflict, to have some level of empathy or at least understanding of the other side or even its own citizens who are Arabs?
Nowadays, it looks really, really very dangerous. I think that we have a very extreme right-wing government right now in Israel, and any opinion or any voice raised against the violence and against the and the war is really, you can face violence. You know, I really used to say once when I was asked what is the best thing that you like about Israel, and they always said it's the freedom of speech or my freedom to write. But although I belong to a liberal, a very great newspaper and very supportive editors, but I cannot ignore the talkbacks calling to kidnap my kids and break my legs, and it was too much. And it's this very awful feeling that as soon as there is a war going or it's a conflict, immediately you become an enemy. Everything that I was trying to fight against, not to separate between people because of their nationality or religion, I don't want to live like that. I really believe that we have to live together, to share that land together. And maybe I was naive and maybe I did a huge mistake. And I felt that there is no room for me any longer in my neighborhood, and I don't know. I have very mixed, very tough, difficult feelings. I find it now very, very difficult even to write in Hebrew, although it's the only language that I can use for writing. So I don't know. It's difficult.
Saeed, it's one thing to have you here in the U.S. talking to us in English, of course, about your experience of leaving. Your last column that you mentioned, did you tell Israelis in their own language, in your column, and you're a trusted voice, why you were leaving the country? Did you tell them directly why this was happening?
Yes, yes. I always say the same words, the same things in all languages that I can speak. And as you well know, my Hebrew actually is my first language and the strongest language. And of course, I still do write in my column. So I wrote my column in Haaretz telling that that's it. That's the game is over. You know, I used to teach my kids. My kids do go to the bilingual school. It's Hebrew and Arabic. It's a very nice project that we believed in, my wife and I. It's supposed to be a mixed school, Arabs and Jews respecting each other, learning the history of each other. And we did choose to live in a Jewish neighborhood in Jerusalem. But I felt that I cannot lie to my kids anymore. I had very strong feeling that the way that I chose with my wife to raise our kids in a mixed society cannot really happen. And I wrote to my readers that I can no longer afford telling lies to my kids as if they can be one day equal in the state of Israel, as someone who is not born to a Jewish mother can really be accepted in a Jewish state. So yes, and it's really very sad. But again, I do have wonderful neighbors. I don't want you to think that I have problems with my colleagues at work or my neighbors. It's just something bigger. I was so scared to send my teenage daughter to the streets of Jerusalem or to take the bus. So I forced them to quit all their summer camps and stay home until we got our tickets and arrived to the States.
Saeed Kashua, Israeli Arab author and journalist at Haaretz newspaper, has just arrived. We don't know how long you'll stay, Mr. Kashua, but hopefully for quite a while.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thanks.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TiVo, unifying cable, on-demand, and streaming apps like Netflix without the need to switch TV inputs, remotes, or user experience. Learn more at TiVo.com.